Well, last week we started our Christmas series called The Gifts of Christmas. We are piling up the gifts up in our bedroom and in our closet. I can get about two steps. I mean, our walk-in closet is smaller than these bathrooms, so it's not like some huge thing anyways. And so I can get about two steps in now before I have to lean over the piles of stuff and kind of reach in and pick out a shirt. And so we are piling the gifts, except so far they're all for other people. And so I'm hoping Danielle has an equally large pile for me somewhere else. But I love getting gifts this Christmas and every Christmas. And the thing is, God wants us to open up a few very special things as well this season. So during these 4 weeks, we will unwrap the gifts of Christmas as we journey through the Advent season. Advent is an old school church word. And so I'm aware of that. So that's one of the things we do here at Family Church is try to demystify some of the churchy words maybe you heard as a child or somebody else did, or maybe you're here in a Christmas-oriented service for the first time and you've never heard the word Advent in your life used for anything else. And it simply means coming or arrival. And in the church, whose coming or arrival would we be concerned about? Jesus. That's the standard Sunday school answer. You will get the answer right 9 out of 10 times if you answer Jesus to a Sunday school question. The coming or the arrival of Jesus. So what did God's people, they had to look and wait for Jesus for hundreds and thousands of years. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. So what would we still be waiting for? Jesus to come again. Because in case you haven't looked outside, the world isn't perfect. Did you notice that? And so Jesus is going to come and finish everything. And so it's our chance to listen to the stories, to remember the true meaning of Christmas, to wait in expectation for the arrival of our Savior. And so Jesus coming as a baby was and is still a big deal. But as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are anticipating when he returns as king of everything and finishes everything. So last week we opened up the gift of hope, waiting with hope, and we don't like to wait. We talked about that. Waiting with hope is part of our heritage as believers. So as a follower of Jesus, when you're waiting for something, part of your demeanor shows where your trust is, right? If your hope is in Jesus, and we said a hope in Jesus is a no-so, not a maybe-so, right? Then our hope will show that our faith is in God. And so our waiting actually gives a message of hope to other people because everybody is waiting for something, right? This is where our hope lies, that the baby who was born in the stable in Bethlehem will return again and complete the work of God in our world. So hope we unwrapped last week. Well, here's our opening question this week. What would Christmas be like without the songs and the carols? No fun? Some of you are like, I'm already tired of them, but no fun. I picked out some Michael Bublé for us today. I like his Christmas album, and we did Charlie Brown Christmas music last week. I'll find something good, Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something for next week. We'll get our start headbanging or something around here. But I love Christmas music. 93.3, if you didn't know, they pretty much start playing Christmas music November 1st, the day after Halloween. And you can get your Christmas music on as soon as you want to. And I actually, driving around, that's usually what I'm listening to nowadays. If it's not sports radio with the endless discussion whether the Buckeyes are actually going to make it into the playoffs or not, and they should, I'm listening to Christmas music. Today we're going to play Name That Christmas Song. I'm going to read a phrase from a well-known song. I'll try not to sing it and entirely give it away. Are you ready for it? Guess the song. We are snuggled up together like two birds of a feather. You got Buckeyes on the brain. I will forgive you for that. That is usually another correct answer here. or sleigh ride, I think is the technical name for it, but you're on the right track. How about this? When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out. Oh, let us know. Good, 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 good. Here's a tougher one, because I can really only picture it being sung by one human being on that used to be alive. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree, almost, won't be the same, dear, if you're not
here with me.
Blue Christmas. All right, how about this? Please have snow and mistletoe and presents. Okay, we got ringers over there. You guys got to be quick. All right, how about this? Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, all right? I didn't give her the answers ahead of time. All right, over this side, you guys be quiet over there, Christmas music junkies. In the meadow, we can build. Here's the correct answer from earlier was said. You know the name of it? Close, but you can do the job when you're in town. This is Winter Wonderland. Do you notice a theme? Obviously, they're Christmas songs, but do you notice a theme within these Christmas songs? It's cold, yes. That's fine. Love, we're snuggled up together. Oh, we're looking for some mistletoe. Mistletoe hung in the meadow. We can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. Why? Because they're wanting to get married like a couple of young idiots. Hey! Do you notice a theme in these Christmas songs? It's love. Now, Valentine's Day is known as the holiday of love, but Christmas has taken the lead in romance. Brides Magazine says that December, I didn't read this, I read it, but not the magazine. Have some respect for me here. Brides Magazine says that December is the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular day to pop the question? Christmas Eve is, yes. Survey says Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is the most popular day. Sorry, Cupid. But Facebook released this data last year that beyond Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, the next day was Christmas Day. Following that is New Year's Day. And then in fourth place, just like Michigan wishes they were, Valentine's Day. Now, there is certainly nothing wrong with celebrating romantic love during this season. But depending on your situation, all this love in the air can either bring happiness and expectation or loneliness and isolation. And either way, too much focus on cuddling in the cold and meeting under the mistletoe can blind us to the real love story of Christmas. So our challenge is not to miss the real love story. The story of true, faithful, unending, sacrificial love. Do y'all love that new song we've been singing called Pieces? Our guest worship leader Lily taught us that about a month or so ago. If you didn't notice, the end of that song, the way it's phrased, is all taken out of the love chapter in Corinthians. And it's about love being kind, not being jealous, and putting the other person first, about always being true. And it's all right out of there. But I love the phrasing of it. God's love in sending Jesus is the one love that changes everything. The story is not about a feeling, though. It is about love in action. It's about how the God of the universe loves you so much that he left everything in order to be with you, to sacrifice his life so that you could be with him. And that's what we're shown as a model, even in Ephesians, for marriage and things like that, that a true marriage will have agape love, true love at its core, when each person lays down their wants for the other person's wants, lays down their life for the other person's life. And so when that act of sacrifice becomes common within a marriage, it can endure anything. It's a safe place for other people. It's a safe place for the kids. It's what God has given to us And he's modeled it for us to give to each other that way. God's love is the second gift of Christmas that we'll unwrap this Christmas season. What do you have to do before you open a present and not shake it and guess what's in it? The card. If you're polite, you read the card. That is pure torture for the five-year-old at his birthday, right? Hang on. Let's read the card. Most of my life, I've not put cards on presents because I never cared about the card, and I really think that's an honest approach to things. Let's just get real here. Skip the card. Now, before shaking it, and there's some good stories. I'm a pretty good guesser on what's inside of things. We have to receive it. I've told you guys that I'm a big kid on Christmas Day, and obviously younger, I was on more of the receiving end and anticipating what was coming my way. As you get older, you get smart, you ask for one thing, and you make sure that you get the one thing. But nowadays, I'm just as excited, but we put the names on the presents, and the kids sit down, and we do presents one at a time to try to maximize the mayhem, right? Does anybody, who allows the free-for-all? You find it with your name on it, you tear it up, and nobody, okay. Who does the passing out one at a time, and everybody takes their turn over? It's nice. It's hard, and that's something else that's hard on the five-year-olds, but you just got to let them go first. So we always kind of stage the order of things that, you want to blow their mind on the last present, right? You do this kind of build up and, Christmas story, the gun's hiding in the corner or something like that. But as excited as I am to give my kids something, I hold it out to them. What do they have to do? They have to receive it. Now, they will. They will take whatever gift I put in their hands. But yet we don't always do that with God when he holds out gifts to us. Before we can open a gift, we need to receive the gift. We need to receive God's love. John 3:16 is a very famous verse. If you've been around church people or the church at all, it's maybe a phrase you've seen. You see it at ball games. You'll see the guy holding the sign. It says John 3:16 over the wall. It's basically the one little verse that kind of puts the gospel message in a nice, simple little phrase. Goes like this: for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We can reduce our faith, if we have to that little verse. Now there's a whole lot more to our faith that we can grow into, but that's where it starts, and you can't ever leave it out. The problem is we're so familiar with this verse that some of us can recite it from memory, and we look right past it. But God's love in sending Jesus is the one love that changes everything. This was and is the ultimate gift and act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. Danielle and I went to Grace Fellowship last night. It was just nice to sit in on the receiving end of things and walk right out after the service was over and hide in the back like some of y'all like to. And I won't point fingers, but yeah, you do that for me. Thank you. But part of his message was talking about how Jesus prayed, and he focused on the prayer right before the crucifixion, the night before when he's in the garden, just getting ready to be betrayed. He goes to Father God, and he says, please take this cup from me. I don't want to do it this way, if at all possible. So if you don't think Jesus dying on the cross was a sacrifice, Jesus knew what was coming, hadn't physically felt all of the pain, the physical pain yet, but he knew the spiritual pain that was coming. He goes to God three times and says, Father, if there's any other way to reach your people, I'd like to do it that way. But he finishes all three times. And this was the point of Pastor Keith's message last night. Not my will, but yours be done. It was God's will to pay the highest cost to show his love for us. And we look past it, but just hearing that explained again last night in a different way of Jesus not wanting to do it. He wanted to save us. Don't you hear what I'm saying? But he would have rather not gone through the pain of being separated from his Father. He took our shame on him. That's amazing. I grew up as a kid blaming other people for everything. I still try to, but that's part of growing up. You have to own your stuff at some point. But I was pretty good at saying my sister did it, right? That worked a lot. I'm not one to just say, hey, I'll pay for your crime. What, there's this guy in the news that's appealing for, you know, getting out of the death sentence or whatever. I'll take it. What? No. This was and is the ultimate gift and act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. This message, the message of this verse is at the core of what we believe. So it makes sense that we should unwrap the gift of love today. God loves the world. He loves you. He loves your neighbor. He loves your kids. He loves your kids more than you do. He loves you more than you do. He gave his son. When we receive that gift and believe in him, we are given life. What does that mean? Those who believe in him will not perish, will not die, but have eternal life. Because there's something about our soul that even though there's something physical happening, even though there's blood moving through my body, even though there's a few things moving around up here, we are not truly alive until we are attached back to Father God. That's why the family church exists, to welcome people home to God. We want people to find true life. And to never die means you can never take away that spiritual life ever. You stay connected at that point to Father God for eternity, regardless of what happens to the tent that we live in right now. So the first thing we do with God's love is so basic, it's easy to overlook. Now notice I said basic, not easy. For some of you here today, this step of receiving the gift of God's love and believing in Jesus may be very difficult. It may be something you've struggled with for a long time. It may be a brand new idea to you. Or it may be a gift you've neglected for a while. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times to trust that there is something greater. Maybe you think, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the dark secrets and the doubts and the fears and the pain. Maybe I don't, but God does, and he is still holding out this amazing gift for you to reach up and grab. I couldn't imagine having to wait more than half a second for the kids, my kids, to take the present from me. And yet God stands. It says in the Bible, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here is the gift of my love. You know? And he uses people in your life. He'll use situations in your life. Here it is. A gift for you. No matter what challenges or hurts you hold, God's love can handle them and heal them. Wherever your situation is today, I encourage you to receive the gift of God's love. Let this season of Advent be one of receiving the love and salvation that God offers in his Son. Okay, so if you actually receive the gift, what comes next? And not just opening, but what's next after getting something? Come on now. Thankful. Well, yes. That's a good kid answer. Admire it. You start enjoying it. As a kid, we had our family's Christmas on Christmas Eve morning, because we would have Christmas Eve, Christmas on, it's going to sound confusing, Christmas on Christmas Eve morning, and then we would pack up the car, and we would drive to Monroe, Michigan, which is on just the other side of Toledo, and we would have Christmas in the afternoon with my dad's family. And then we would be there all the way through dinner and go usually to about 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, something like that. And then we would drive the other 1.5 hours or so to Detroit, Michigan. And then we would arrive at my mom's parents' house. And so Christmas morning, for about half my childhood life, was waking up Christmas Day in Detroit. And so we'd have Christmas a day early. So while kids were counting down, I had my main Christmas like a day early. That was great. But the problem was you had to get in a car and drive 4 hours after you just opened up all the stuff you've been hoping for. So what do you want to do when you get a new toy? Do you want to play with it? Now, if this is a bike, you have a problem. Because my dad always had company cars, and they were your standard four-door mid-size Chevy sedan. No bike, okay, is going in the car. Now, my sister was smart. She asked for things like Game Boys. And so, Game Boy, good to go. If you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. Well, now, 1 year, I got a keyboard. About, I don't know, about that long. It was a Yamaha keyboard. It had about 100 different things that it made, drums and, you know, all kinds of crazy noises. And I just loved the stupid thing. Well, I made it fit in the car because I didn't want to leave the new toy. Now, I couldn't play it in the car, and it just had to take up space. But I was taking it with me. So here's me and Emily, which we already had enough trouble fighting in the back seat of said American automobile. We would fight over the middle seat belt. Has anybody ever fought over the middle seat belt with their sibling? Okay, I'm just a special kind of bad kid then. I wanted to experience the gift that I just gotten. There was no way I wanted to leave it if at all possible. It is only the beginning to receive God's love. We need to experience his love. It is easy right now to be distracted by all of the things that need to be done in the next few weeks. And not only that, but it's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love can really overcome the darkness and hatred in our world. It's really hard to make room in your heart for a genuine celebration of Christmas when the bad news doesn't stop. It's easy to allow worry over tomorrow or next week or next year to overwhelm us and keep us from feeling loved. Now, all of those things matter, by the way. God does not ask you to ignore those things in order to experience his love. But he invites you to bring them to him, to surrender the deepest hurts and the concerns of your life and allow him to fill you and renew you with his love. He doesn't want you to ignore all those concerns. He wants to do something about them. And if you just stay in worry mode thinking through it, you really, other than checking stuff off the list and getting things accomplished, you can't fix anything. Did you ever notice that? As a fixer, that really frustrates me. Because if something made out of wood breaks, I can make a new one. But I can't fix broken people. I can't fix broken marriages. God does those things. And the good news is that the love he gives through his Son, Jesus Christ, is enough. The Apostle Paul described it this way in Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, that should encourage somebody in here today. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see why God had to send Jesus the way he did? That's Romans 8, 38 and 39, by the way. This is a powerful love, the most powerful love. It is a love that can't be contained or constrained by any other power in the universe. Not evil, not death, no person, no power can affect the power of God's love. But it is a love that needs to be experienced. The gift needs to be received and enjoyed. This is not a gift to accept and unwrap and then put on a shelf. We've all gotten the gifts that, nice try. And you're looking for a receipt when they're not looking, you know. Wonder where I can give this away and get away with it, right? And we've all gotten those things. Mm-hmm. Or just something that looks cool, but it really isn't something that changes your life. You know, how many new wonder things that are on TV and they're not so wonderful, right? And so you use it a couple times and you realize you're really not going to make homemade bread every day. And so the bread maker goes in the closet. And then 5 years from now, it goes in the yard sale, right? We've all had these kind of gifts. I remember needing new power cords for my keyboard. I loved the stupid thing. It made noise. But here's one problem with that keyboard. I never learned to play the piano. So I liked the funny noises it made. I liked that it made drum noises. And whatever, you know, I'd goof around on it. But I really never experienced what I could have with it, right? See, God's love is like the oxygen that we need for every breath of every day. I hope that you will experience God's love in a new and deep way this season, because love should be a part of who we are. What's the only thing better than receiving and enjoying a gift? Sharing it with somebody else. Not your sister, but sharing it with somebody else. So I dragged the keyboard up to Michigan, and we have Christmas, you know, morning there. And then, of course, I'm showing off my keyboard to the rest of the extended family, right? And my Uncle John takes a fascination with the stupid thing, and it has like a little demo song in it, and he starts pretending like he's really playing it, and Grandma and Grandpa thinks it's hilarious, and all. All of a sudden, it's more fun, right? I've taken something that I liked, that I enjoyed, and I shared it. We need to receive God's love, experience God's love, and then I can't tell you how much fun this is if you haven't done this already. Share his love. When we are in love, it shows. You can tell when somebody's in love. Why? Because we can't help it. Love spills out from us onto other people. It overflows. The gift of God's love is the same way. It is for sharing. I said during our last series that love is one of those heavenly commodities. It doesn't run out. The more you try to give it away, the more you're going to have inside of you. You cannot exhaust God's love supply. And he actually really likes it when you try to put it to the test. Try it. You cannot outlove God. You can't run out of his love. You can run out of your love. You can get worn out. You can get tired of giving and sharing and taking care of people. But if you stay tapped into God's love and let that be the love that flows through you and out to other people, and you're not just trying to fabricate your own little ways of taking care of people, that's when it gets fun. The great thing about love is that sharing this gift doesn't leave us with less. It leaves us with more. Once we accept and experience the love of God, the next natural step is to share it. And so part of this believing in Jesus . One of the ways you will know your heart has really changed is that you will start loving other people in a different way than you ever have. Moms naturally love their babies. I mean, there's natural ways that we show affection for one another. But you will find yourself wanting to help carry somebody else's burdens and check in on something that they're struggling with. Because guess what? If you know somebody's in a long fight with something, a sickness, a lot of people really don't want to ask how they're doing because you know the answer. But when you start to feel the love of God take over your heart, you don't mind those opportunities to help walk with somebody and say, I care about what you're going with. I wish your situation would get better, but I love you, right? And you share that load. John addressed this process in 1 John 4, 9-11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Here again, our life, our true life, comes through Jesus. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. Atoning is another one of those church words. Atoning means somebody else paying your bill. Atonement is payment. Payment rendered. And by the way, the Bible teaches payment in full. There's no holdover of your sin that God has forgiven when you accept it. He doesn't remind you of it. That's what our enemy does to take us back to shameful patterns and to remind us of where we've been, because he doesn't want us to change. But God doesn't hold our past over us. So he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And this love is bigger than just having fun together at a Christmas party. That's part of it. It's bigger than just coming to church and singing together and how are you doing? Did you have a good week? It's the phone calls. It's the checking in on somebody when you haven't seen someone. It's the, do you need somebody to talk to this week? It's the, what can I do to help you through this season of your life? It's those kind of things. It's the, I'm going to pray for you, and you actually remember to pray for them. The more we embrace and experience God's love, the more we share it with others. So what can this look like for us this season? How can we put this sermon into action? Quality time with family. Hopefully Christmas season is a time where you are increasing your time with the people you care about. How about this? Reconnecting with a friend who has drifted away. Well, they drifted away. Yeah. How about you pick up the phone? Don't you hate it when you're the one that always calls the other person? Call them anyways. I've got friends like that too. How about doing something for your neighbors or a stranger or your strange neighbors? Pick one. I guarantee you have all three. Checking in on someone you suspect is lonely or hurting. I believe that God uses the Holy Spirit to prompt us to those things. If you think somebody might need something, just try, test God there and say, God, I think you're speaking to me through your Holy Spirit right now. I'm going to see if I can do something about that. Try it. I'll guarantee you more times than not you've heard from the Lord. And it's going to be a positive no matter what. How many people reject just wanting somebody just checking on them? Nah, it does depend on the person. But that usually means they're just really, really hurt. And You just throw out a little line every out there every now and then. How about this? Maybe forgiving someone who has hurt you or apologizing to someone you have hurt. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through you as you share the love that He has given you. Think of one way right now that God can share His love through you this week. Because as we open up these gifts of Christmas, it should be a receiving. It should be an enjoying, an experiencing. And then it should be a sharing with what you've been given. On the night before God put His gift of love into action, after all the teaching, 30-some years after the manger, Jesus is sitting with those closest to Him, and He held up bread, and He broke it, and He said, "This is My body broken for you. I'm going to give you everything that I have." After that, He held up a cup. We have grape juice here today. It's a symbol of the blood of Jesus. He held the cup and He said, "This is My blood shed for you." That word atonement, where it was paid, spent for you. That's what that word atonement means. He said, "This is My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink this. And when you do, remember Me." Can we pray? Father God, I thank You for this word. God, I thank You for these gifts of Christmas. And beyond all of the electronic gadgets or widgets or what's-its or toys or clothes or anything else that shimmers or shines, God, I thank You that You intended for us to receive the gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace through the gift of Your Son. If the gift of love has been something that God has extended to you, but you've never truly received it and opened it, would you receive and open that gift of love this morning? If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning? I want to pray with you. You've never truly opened and received the gift of God's love. Or maybe it's one of those things where you got burnt by a few people. You loved and love wasn't returned. Or you were loved and that love was taken away. And so you thought, maybe this love thing isn't such a great thing. I don't like how it feels when it goes wrong. And it went up on the shelf. If it's been a long time since you've experienced the love of God the Father, I pray that you would just receive Him this morning. Father God, I speak Your love to the souls in this room. God, I pray that it would wash over in a wave of warmth that would renew somebody in here today. God, that we would dust that love off the shelf and we would begin to share it again. We begin to trust You again. Amen. As we close close in worship this morning. We're going to take communion. Just do something simple. We take a piece of bread. We dip it in the juice. You take it right away. If you want to get your kids, if they're over there, go ahead and come through as a family. That's awesome. Otherwise, they'll probably bring the older ones through themselves. But as you hold that bread, as you dip it into the juice, would you be thankful for the gift of love that those two things represent? The body and the blood of the Son of God, broken and spilled for you and for me. So when we celebrate communion, it's like opening the same great present over and over again.
Come broken.
I described handing out those presents? That's where I'm like this. And one of the reasons why some of us that get a little crazier into worship do this while we're singing. And sometimes I feel like I can't stretch up high enough. But the truth of the matter is he's pouring down and washing over me. So if you would with me, could you hold your hands just up or out with me right now? Father God, we declare to you today that we thank you for your love. Father God, we thank you that we can come as we are, but God, we thank you that you love us so, so much and you can't leave us the same. And so, God, you are changing us. You are perfecting us. You are rearranging the things in our heart. You're clearing out some garbage. But, Father God, you're also fixing things so that we can truly know what love is, that we can truly experience love, and then we can truly share love. So, God, you are patient with us as we figure out this gift of love. But, Father God, we receive it today. Help us to experience it this Advent season and help us to share it with somebody else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday.